Romans chapter 12, and we're continuing our lessons that we've been doing on Wednesday evenings, and tonight I've just entitled it, Different Areas of Gifts, Different Areas of Gifts. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these three updates that we heard just a moment ago regarding the missionaries that we support, the Cohn family, the Levier family, and the Navarro family. And Lord, we do count it an honor and a privilege to pray for them and also send them financial support. And I pray as we'll have time here at the end of the hour that we would be dedicated to praying for them. We do pray, Lord, that you would bless this time as we open your word and speak to us from your word the importance of our spiritual gift or gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I want to just ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, and I'm looking for your feedback. I'm looking for you to answer the question. We don't do that very often. And I know many of you won't want to speak out, but it's not a very difficult question. I want you to think about it. The question is this: why, according to the Bible, why were we created? You can tell me why we were created, and there's not necessarily going to be, that's completely the wrong answer, but it may not be what I'm looking for, okay? Yes, ma'am. For God's glory, okay? Good answer. Somebody else want to add to that, or? You could say it in a little different way, possibly. Anyone else? Why were we created? For his pleasure. Okay, very good. Both of those words, kind of the two. Let's just take a look at Revelation quickly. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. Good, thank you for that. And I'm going to ask another question in a minute as well as that. Revelation chapter number 4. Let's look at verse number 11. Revelation 4:11. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things." Okay? Does that include you? Yes. Does that include me? Yes. Does that include us? I should have just said it like that. Yes, it does. God, obviously, we are created in the image of God, and so for thy pleasure, they are and were created, and that he would receive glory and honor. So both of those words that were given, glory and honor, are completely accurate. Okay, next question. Why did God save me? Because he loved us. Very good answer. Very good answer. Not the wrong answer. That's probably the best answer we could say. And so praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? But in addition to because he loved us, what is the purpose of God saving us? It's a verse we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, actually. It's a verse in the Bible that I'm actually looking for. Why did God save us? You know the verse? Ephesians 2:10. Let's go over there quickly. Ephesians 2:10. So the first question was, why did God create us to receive glory and to receive pleasure? We'll say both of those, for his pleasure, for his glory and honor. And why did God save us? So tonight, obviously, everybody here, I'm very confident in this, that I can say this wholeheartedly, you have been created. I went out on a limb there. You have been created. Now, what I cannot say wholeheartedly is that you are saved. Because I don't know the depths of your heart. I only know your testimony. I'm not saying that your testimony isn't enough. But I'm not saying, only God knows everybody's heart here tonight if we're truly saved. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you can't know that. I'm saying for me to know that for you. Okay? But there's a purpose of why God saves us. And we read about it in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. Okay? For we are his workmanship. I think we read this last week or maybe the week before. Created in Christ Jesus. That's the salvation. We were created to bring honor and glory to God and for his pleasure. We were saved. We were created in Christ Jesus. We were saved unto, what's the next two words? Good works. Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Good works. Okay? So it is God's plan. It is God's plan that we be, God wants us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. Okay? But that's not the end of it. He doesn't want us to simply get saved and that's the end of it. No, he wants us, according to Ephesians 2:10, he has saved us, created us in Christ Jesus. That's the salvation part of it. Unto good works. And we need to walk in those good works. Now, if you're walking in good works, this is just how my little ticker works. That means it's a continual situation. Because walking is movement. Right? You don't, it's standing, I'm getting nowhere. He didn't say stand in good works. He said walk in good works. And so for me, it represents a continual happening. So as a believer, why did God create me? To bring him pleasure, to give him glory. Why did he save me? He saved me for good works. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So we have to ask ourselves these questions and be sure that we know the right answer according to the Word of God. Not what do we think or what do we feel, but what does God's Word say? It's very clear to me that God has put us in this church, different people, different backgrounds, different gifts, different even abilities, as it said in Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. God has given us the grace for salvation, but he's also given us the grace for the Christian life. Look, I don't deserve to serve God, but because of his grace, he lets me. I'm not worthy to do anything for the King, but because of his grace, he has given me some sort of gifts that I am to then give back to him by way of service within this local church. So let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. With those two questions in mind, we read once again, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And I thought about those two words, gifts differing. Gifts differing. And for us, it seems like it's backwards, and we could say different gifts. And I'm not changing the Bible, but you can say that, and it doesn't mess up the verse there or take away from it. But that's what it's saying. We have different gifts. And we could divide up three categories, and I'm not preaching on the gifts yet, but possibly next Wednesday we'll be there. Speaking gifts, serving gifts, and special leadership gifts. Speaking gifts, serving gifts, and special leadership gifts. Speaking gifts. Why did God give some people, the gifts that would be in this category? Because it is very clear that the church must be instructed. The church must be taught. I mean, we can understand the gospel pretty quickly, right? I mean, it's really not hard to understand. Sometimes it's difficult to accept. Pride is probably the number one reason why people will be in hell. Because of pride. They weren't willing to say that the traditional way that I've been taught is wrong or whatever way is wrong and the Bible way is right. So, I'm not saying that the gospel is simple. It's simple to understand. It obviously cost God his most precious gift, his son. But the church, we as believers, we need instruction. pastors, evangelists, missionaries, teachers. I found this statement to be so powerful, so simple. As we know, we grow. As we know, we grow. You know, just today, Pastor Nathan was mentioning to me something that was discussed last night after the Bible Institute, and it got me thinking. It got me thinking. And I actually did some reading on that just for a little bit, maybe just for about 15, 20 minutes, and I discovered something new to me, about how John was in prison. I'm not going to go into all of it. How John was in prison, and he sent two disciples to ask Jesus, are you the real deal? That's the Turner translation. Are you the Messiah? Do we have the right one? And I did a little bit of reading about that. And so we are constantly in need of instruction. We are constantly in need of being equipped. It is impossible to grow spiritually without having God's Word. And so if you have the Bible, that's the beginning of your knowledge. And God has put people into my life through the years of my life, youth pastors and missionaries and evangelists and teachers that have taught me the Word of God. I'm talking about in Sunday school class, if you're a Sunday school teacher, I'm talking about children's classes and junior classes and teen department and all the way until even listening to preaching throughout the week. The people that have the gifts to do those things, again, gifts differing does not mean more important. Let's remember that. You know, say, Pastor Turner, I don't think I'll ever have a speaking gift. That doesn't mean that the gift God has given you, if it's not a speaking gift, is of any less importance than someone who has a speaking gift. Different doesn't mean more important. The point is really not what gift do we have tonight. Really what I'm getting at tonight is when we figure out what the gift we have is, are we going to use it for God's pleasure and for God's glory? That's the key. Then there's serving gifts. The church must have numerous servants giving the gift of giving and mercy and helps and faith. And then there's the special leadership gifts and administration or management. And again, that's just kind of an overview. Now, why is it important that we know which spiritual gift we have? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now remember, we've laid the groundwork over and over again. The minute you got saved, the moment you got saved, God, through His Holy Spirit, has given you a spiritual gift or gifts. You were given some. One, two, three. It's not a matter of knowing the number. To me, it is vital that we know what spiritual gift God has given us. Number one, I'm going to give you three reasons. We'll look at the verse here in just a moment. Number one, knowing the spiritual gifts that I have, number one, will help direct me to know the will of God for my life. If it's evident that you don't have a speaking gift, I can tell you one thing that you're not called to be. Men, you're not called to be a pastor. Because it's going to be impossible to not have the speaking gift and be a pastor. Again, differing gifts doesn't mean any less importance. I hope that's not being conveyed because that's not what I'm trying to say. But it's, you know what? Wouldn't it be great to know the will of God for our life? By the way, I'm still wanting to make sure that I'm in the will of God. You say, well, you're already in the will of God. But yeah, every day I have an opportunity to be in the perfect will of God. It's not just because, you're a pastor, so you're in God's will now. Not necessarily. I wake up every day wanting to be in the perfect will of God. And so I've got to make sure that I understand where has God gifted me and where hasn't He gifted me. The purpose of God's gift that He's given us is to use it within the local church. If we don't know our gift, how are we going to know what our place is in the local church? To me, that's frustration. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. But now God hath set the members. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body. We could even say there, God hath set the organs, if you will. When you think of a body has many organs, right? Not pipe, not that kind. A body has many organs. You can't just start picking, you can't just start taking out organs of your body and everything function properly. I mean, you can take it out and live on a machine for a while, but it's not the same, is it? And so let's think of it this way. All right, we have a bunch of organs in the room tonight, making up one body. We have a bunch of members in the room tonight, bodies, the Bible says, making up one body. But if you took out seven or eight organs or members here tonight of this body, this church, and these were non-functioning members or non-functioning organs, what's that going to do to the body? Feedback. What? It will be destroyed, okay. We hope it doesn't get that far down the line, but that's potentially, that's a possibility. Someone else. It's weakened, very much so. Somebody else. Crippling. Weakened, crippling, somebody else. Imagine if your body, you lost six organs tonight. I mean, Brother Barry? That's another good one. All the other organs around are affected when that organ does it. They've got to do double time. Division, okay, sure. Spiritually speaking, yes, definitely. Think about it in the sense of our bodies. So it's very important that we know what our gift is. Because if we don't know what our gift is, we're missing out on what God has for us. God has a place where your gifts and my gifts and abilities will fit just right. More times than not, I tried to put the wrong puzzle piece into the wrong spot. It doesn't matter how hard you cram it in there, it's not made for that piece, that little hole, it's not going to work. And sometimes you might get upset with yourself, or we might get upset with somebody else and think, well, how come they're not doing any of this, that, or the other thing? By the way, that's not our job to determine. It could possibly be that's not part of within their gift. Now, by the way, being faithful to the Lord is not one of the gifts. Hello? Being faithful to the Lord is not one of the gifts. That's just flat-out obedience or disobedience. You can be faithful and not know what your gift is, okay? We're not saying, oh, well, I guess I just don't stop coming to church. I don't even know what my gift is. No, we still want to be faithful to the Lord. But the point is this. It affects the body as a whole. It affects it. It weakens it. And what happens when a body is weak? When an attack comes, like a disease or something comes, what happens? It fails. It's so susceptible because it's weakened. Maybe somebody hasn't been eating their vegetables, right, kids? Hasn't been eating their vegetables and getting a balanced diet. And then all of a sudden, you know, boom, you're exposed to the cold or the flu or whatever. And a weak body has a hard time fighting that thing off. It can happen in a church. A church is going to be attacked by the enemy. Count it. Count on it. Especially a church, and I'm not saying that we're everything we ought to be, but a church that is emphasizing, honoring, serving the Lord, putting God in his rightful place, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, trying to get the gospel out as best we can, seeking God's leading in our lives. The devil is not going to be happy with that. The devil is going to try every way possible to destroy, as someone said a moment ago. Just as we would place a piece of a puzzle in just the right place, God places us in the ministry as it pleases him. Are you still in 1 Corinthians 12:18? But now, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God has given us and put us in this body, his church. He is the under great shepherd. We are his people, and we have been placed in this ministry. Remember, we said that a couple of weeks ago. We're all in the ministry. We're all in the ministry. So number one, it helps direct me to know the will of God. Number two, knowing my gift or gifts will help me to set the right priorities. Would we all not recognize this in our life, that there are more things to do than we have time to do them many times in our life? We get to the end of the day and, well, we got most of it done, but not all of it. I'm referring to the honey-do list that you might give your husband or other things like that, and those are fine. But I'm thinking about in our efforts for the Lord, many times I just wish I could do more for the Lord, but maybe it's because I'm spinning my wheels in an area where I ought not be spinning my wheels. Maybe I'm wasting time doing something good when I could be doing what is best. So knowing our spiritual gifts helps us to have the right priorities. So many times I can be sidetracked. We might be involved in certain activities or areas of service where our gift isn't even being used. The gifts that God has given you and given us tonight are not to be kept in our pocket. They're to be used for His honor and glory in the right place, though. So number one, it will help direct me to know the will of God for my life. Number two, it will help me to set the right priorities. Number three, I think this is the most important one, possibly. It will help me to accept who I am. I wish I was this. No, don't do that. God has created you. God has gifted you. God has given you exactly what He has given you and given me for His pleasure. And the Bible says there, as it hath pleased Him. So tonight, maybe the best thing we can do tonight before we leave is say, God, thank you for the gifts that you've given me. I may know what one of them is. I may not know what they all are quite yet. But thank you that it was pleasing to you to give me this gift. You may not have given me the one that I really wanted to have, but you gave me the one or the two that you've given me, and I'm very thankful for that. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't work. So I'm not saying tonight that we need everybody to have the... We're saying that everybody here has the gift in one of the areas of speaking. That's not the case. And that's okay. But if you do have one of those gifts that would be under the speaking gifts and you're not using them, well, that's where it's a problem. And we need to figure out how we can use them for God's honor and for His glory. My gifts may not be yours and yours might not be mine. That does not make either one of us inferior to the other. We go back to our first verse. Gifts differing. Gifts differing. We should know our spiritual gift or gifts and seek to develop them in order to make ourselves more valuable. Turn over to Titus chapter 3, please. More valuable and usable within the local church. One of the goals that I don't have it written down anywhere, but I really it's kind of a goal in my head that I would like to be, for God's glory, I would like to be profitable for the Lord's work. I don't know what that means. I just be there and be profitable for the Lord's work. That's a goal I think that's probably worthwhile to have, to be profitable for the Lord. Look what it says in Titus 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, and I think we could say they're believed in God beyond just saying, yes, there's some higher power. I think we could take it a little bit further than that. They have believed in God, that He is Jehovah, that He is King, that He is Lord. They have believed in God, notice, might be careful to maintain what? Good works. Remember what it said in Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Our gift or gifts is going to help us to do good works. Knowing what my gift is or my gifts are is going to help me to be involved in the good work ministry. And by the way, part of these good works may never be known by anyone but God. Part of these good works might not be known by maybe just one or two people that you are exhibiting the gift of mercy on. We're going to get into the gifts. We're getting there slowly but surely. It's not a matter of, well, my gift is never known. Yes, your gift is known by the Lord all the time. When you exhibit that gift and when you put that gift out there for God's glory, it may not be on a platform. It may not be anywhere of any importance according to man, but that gift has been given for the Lord. It's of great value, and it is maintaining good works. Oh, what should be our goal is not to have a full auditorium, although we want to have a full auditorium, but our goal is that we would maintain good works. Notice what it says here. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, I see the beauty there? That it's not just profitable to God. It's profitable to us. Okay, let's ask the question again another way. When we are being the member and when we are exhibiting the gifts that God has given us within the body, what does that do for the other organs? When we are doing what we're supposed to do, when we are administering our gifts, what does that do for somebody that's having a tough time or weak? It strengthens them. It helps them. It gives a, I don't even want to, I won't say it, but a spiritual, it's a spiritual energy drink. Don't drink those things, but that's what I'm just using that as an illustration, okay? Probably not the best thing to be drinking. When you get around somebody that's let's say, using their gift, and it doesn't matter what it is, it's going to strengthen the body as a whole. I mean, we could think about the negative side of it. Let's think about the positive side of it, that we're giving or we're using our gifts for God's glory. There might be a day where we come and we're using our gift for God's glory, whatever it may be, and the person beside us isn't. They're having a tough time, but your gift being used for God's glory is an opportunity to encourage them in the things of the Lord. It says here that it will be profitable unto men. Turn over quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back one book. Probably just a couple of pages, actually, in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable." Paul speaking here. "He is profitable to me for the ministry." I'm just thinking of that word profitable. We've studied before, thanks be to God, that when we're saved, we will never have to pay for our sin. Our sins have been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But 1 Corinthians tells us that we will give an account for the things that we have done or the things that we should have done. I want to ask you this question. What have you left undone? Here's a poem by a gentleman with Silent Word Ministries. His name is Ted Camp. What have you left undone? Unsown seeds reap no harvest. Unspoken words give no comfort. Unwritten songs do not bless. Unsent cards do not encourage. Unwritten poems inspire no one. Unpreached messages remain unheard. Ungiven love is unexpressed. Unfinished tasks are never rewarded. What have you left undone? Ungiven tracts are just paper. Unwritten words are never read. What have you left undone? So tonight, maybe there's something in your life that is undone. Maybe because, you're saying, Pastor, I really don't know what my spiritual gift is. In closing, I want us to go back to our original text, 1 Corinthians, or not our original text, but one we've already looked at, 1 Corinthians 12. The closing question is this: am I in my proper place? And I'm not referring to the church that you're attending. I'm referring to your place within the church. Am I in my proper place? I'm not talking about the seat you're sitting in tonight. But now, 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Listen carefully as I read Romans 9:20. Just listen carefully, please. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor, another into dishonor? This is Romans 9:20 primarily. Why hast thou made me thus? God disposes the gifts as he wills. And we again have to tonight be willing to say, thank you, God, for the gifts that you've given me. Not questioning God for why didn't you give me certain gifts, but thank you, God, for the gifts that you've given me. God has a specific place of service for each of his children. As a review, as a piece of a puzzle, it must fit into the right place. We must also fit into the place that God has for us. The gifts that we have will not conflict with the real you. I believe God has equipped us with gifts that go right along with who we are. Now, some of it we're going to need, definitely going to need, the working of the Spirit of God. Remember, these are spiritual gifts. So they have to be developed over time. And by the way, that's okay. The key to all of this that we've mentioned in previous weeks is a willing mind. I'm thankful that God provides everything needed for this local church. But he provides it through people. He provides it through you. He provides it through me. Are all the members of the body useful and necessary? Yes. Different, but necessary. Different, but useful and gratefully needed. Peter could have never been a Paul. And Paul could have never been a Peter. But they each had a tremendous place. They each had a place to be profitable for the Lord. So what must we do? Accept the place that we have and do our best for his pleasure and for his glory. Am I in the proper place?